Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5. The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, Connor Newt here with you. We hope you are having a wonderful day. A beautiful sunny day in Nashville, Tennessee. The Titans were on the practice field earlier today for their final joint practice against the Chicago Bears. Our very own Willie Donick and Connor Newt attended said practice. So let's just get right into it. Willie Donick, what was your headline, or what is your headline from today's Bears-Titans joint practice?
I haven't consulted with correspondent Newt or anybody else, but my headline, I think, would be that the connection between Cam Ward and Carnell Tate was probably front and center today. A lot of good, I would say. Some mixed results. Not every play was perfect. There were opportunities that Tate had to maybe make a play, or Ward had a chance to get him the ball and didn't. But they hooked up a number of times. They were targeted a bunch of times, or Tate was targeted a bunch of times. So I think that was the thing that jumped out above everything else. And so I think I would take that as a positive, is that all of the talk about, hey, how come Tate hadn't caught a ball or anything like that, I think he silenced that as well, because – even though it wasn't perfect, there were some really good plays in there between those two.
So the Carnell Tate preseason demise was greatly exaggerated.
It never was a thing. You asked us yesterday.
Not on this program.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, it's been kind of a thing. It's been kind
I
of
feel
a thing.
Like, I feel like you get drawn into the social media buzz too
what
much.
What are you saying?
Don't get
it's like
drawn
a black
in.
Hole.
Don't get sucked
it
in.
What are you saying?
Stay on the outside. Use your
Stay
own
on
force.
The fringes,
are you
man.
Saying that I'm
Stay
terminally
on
online?
No,
are you
pretty
saying
much so.
I didn't that
say
I need
about,
to touch grass?
I didn't say anything pretty much about so. Terminally. I said you were influenced.
To be fair, I don't
the
have
the gravitational
any,
pull of the
which
social
means
media.
Terminally.
To be fair, I don't have any grass at my house. So
none?
No.
Wow.
Because
next
I
next
door, I don't know, there's a couple plants.
You don't have a,
and,
yeah,
well,
something?
There are plants.
A couple of blades of grass. In
no,
there?
There are plants, but then there's a patio and mulch because I don't mow the lawn.
There has to be
are
some
you not,
weeds growing out.
Oh,
somewhere.
There are some weeds. I need
touch
to,
weeds.
I need
man.
To take care of that.
Touch weeds.
Well,
yeah. Touch grass. Touch weeds.
Mulch. Touch
mulch.
Weed.
Touch mulch.
That's an interesting proposition, Derek Mason.
I said weeds.
Hey. Plural.
Exactly.
Smoke weed every day.
That is not an endorsement, by the way, but anyone... okay, enough. Connor New, you were also at practice today. Your headline from Bears-Titans joint practice. Go.
This is fun because none of you can look at me. I don't know if you can see, but the mic stand back here has imploded, so I have to crouch down to speak to you. But
oh, my. We need to MacGyver that
I thought
thing.
He went invisible for a minute.
Yeah. You can't see me, as Cena said. But my headline, Willie kind of stole my headline, but that's okay. We didn't consult about it. The big event of the day today, Wandell Robinson coming across the middle, gets absolutely cheap-shotted by former Titan Xavier Woods.
So I've heard.
And a massive, I don't even want to say brawl, but a kerfuffle, we'll say, breaks out in midfield. And Robert Saleh was asked about it after practice. He said it was a cheap shot, but he's proud of how the guys handled it. So I thought that was pretty noteworthy to see the entire team come together to stick up for their guy. It shows that there's fight. It shows that there's grit on this offense, especially in the offensive line. And, you know, Wandell Robinson being evaluated for concussion is not ideal. I would doubt that if that is the case, he'll play on Saturday against the Bears. But, you know, I think seeing a moment of unity like that, it got me a little fired up. I'm not going to lie to you.
Now,
I would agree.
Do you both agree it was as cheap as Robert Saleh said it was?
Yeah, it was cheap. And the thing that really set the Titans off mm-hmm. was that Woods celebrated it. Mm-hmm. Like, he got up and, like the flags came flying in before Wandell Robinson even hit the ground. I mean, the three flags are coming from all the different refs. It was clearly not a good hit. But Woods came up as if he had made the perfect hit. And if there was any doubt, I think they were going to come after him anyway. But if there was any doubt, once he did that, once he sort of flaunted it in a practice where you don't want to see anybody get hurt for either team, Austin Slotman, it reminded me of a hitter that had been thrown at by a pitcher. And Xavier Woods was the pitcher, and Slotman was the hitter. And I could see Woods going, somebody be the catcher to catch this guy before he gets to me, because I don't know what I'm going to do if he gets here. But you know what? He got there. And Slotman was ready to go Rocky Balboa on him. And I agree with Connor. It was a good response. It was the response you were supposed to see. And let me give credit to the Bears as well, because they knew right away. It's like, uh-oh. We got to get in here and save this guy from getting killed. But they did it without it escalating and becoming a full-on brawl, because I think the Bears were like, okay, you made your point. Good point. Okay, we apologize. Let's go back. Let's chill. So but it was well handled by everybody.
I think those things like that, when they happen, it shows sort of how much your team is in control, because we talked about, you know, the things that happen in practice and, you know, punches being thrown, and then a situation like this where punches can be thrown and they're not. Guys get to that edge and then they back up. They know how far they can go. So good. This may have been a good thing for the Titans in a sense.
So you know how we feel on this show about practice stats? We don't really put too much stock into them. But for those of you who do care about practice stats and put stock into them, friend of the show, Nick Suss, has Carnell Tate with 7 catches on 12 targets for 2 touchdowns across 7 full team periods. Suss also has Cam Ward, 19 for 30 passing, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. So if that's something that matters to you, there it is. I know a lot of people, Willie and Connor, want to know how Cam looked specifically today. How did he come across to you, Willie?
I think you would need to break down all the reps to grade it out. But I think those generally would tell you that what I use the word was mixed, right? Probably I would say more good than bad, but you would always hope that there's more good than bad. Like if you're completing 50%, that's mixed, right? It's 50-50, but you don't want to be 50-50. You got to have a higher percentage of success. But I thought there were some really good-looking plays in there. One of the touchdowns to Carnell Tate was a great throw, right on the money in the corner of the end zone to complete a drive. Excellent stuff. And then there was a couple plays that, you know, I think Ward was off target and could have been better. There was an interception. The one interception was Gunnar Helm running down the seam. And Connor, you can add to this. From what I saw from the end zone, Helm was looking, his shoulder was turned to the inside. Ward read, because he threw the ball before Helm cut. But he was running down the seam and he had some space there. But he threw it over the opposite shoulder. So they were just not quite on the same page. It wasn't really a bad throw. It was just a miscommunication and the safety intercepted it. So it was just a day that I think they grew from. It shouldn't look perfect. The Bears are a pretty good team. But and I didn't watch the defense against the Bears offense as much, but I would say there's a lot of good mixed in there. It was encouraging, especially coming off of the team I know has been hearing ever since Monday, the day after that game, that, hey, what's going on? Everybody's, why can't they look better? They're playing against backups. They must not be any good. I think this was a restorative of confidence that the group probably got out of it, even though it wasn't perfect.
Connor, what was your evaluation of Cam Ward today overall?
Yeah, I kind of echo what Willie said. Some good, some bad. Some bad misses in there. There was one right before Tate's catch in the end zone. He was looking for Tate. Tate got himself wide open, and he just wildly overthrew him. So, yeah, I would say up and down is probably the right description to use for today. I think there was a lot of good, and overall, I think the overarching theme today is he was able to will an offense into doing some really good things out there. Carnell Tate had a fantastic day. before the injury, Wandell Robinson was doing really well. The tight ends made some great plays. Gunnar Helm made a fantastic one-armed catch over, I believe it was Daniel Tieneman, the safety out of Oregon. So I would say that Cam Ward today, up and down, but I would venture to say more of good than bad. If you were to ask me to grade him, I would probably give him a B today. I thought it was pretty decent.
Let me ask you this, Derek. Do you think that there are practice plans, maybe even as specific from your experience of one of these joint practices, where the offensive coordinator or maybe even the quarterback come in and said, let's really work Carnell hard today. Let's throw the ball to him. You said 7 out of 12 targets, I think, Adam, is what Nick
Suss
had.
7 yeah, Nick for Suss. 12, yeah.
That looks about right to just my eye test. I wasn't writing them down. But on the ones that didn't connect, I thought there were times, and I think we've seen this in the game too, mm-hmm. where it almost looks like Cam is saying, I'm throwing the ball to Carnell here. Mm-hmm. I want to hook up with him. I want to show him that I want him to be my guy. And it doesn't work mm-hmm. because I think maybe the defense reads that. But I think it's a good thing. It's like they want him to be the guy they connect and form chemistry with, and they're willing to have some of those. I just hope it doesn't translate too much in the game where you're forcing it.
Well, I think what happens is, you know, at times, especially during the preseason, and this is what sort of, you kind of go back and forth, because they're doing something in practice that they're not doing in the game for whatever reason. So are they game planning a little bit more in practice than they are in the game? Or is the game more so like, you know, let's work on our offense as a whole. But when you get into specifics and when you get into the season, it's about the player that fits the offense that we're running. So if we want to get Carnell Tate the ball, you know, over and over again, these are the plays that we need to call. Instead of saying, okay, we're going to call these plays and hope that Carnell, you know, becomes the first option or he gets the ball. You're allowing the player, which you should do at this point, because he has to build a rapport in if not the game, then these joint practices with who's going to be his number one target. So now it's more, okay, we got Tate here. Now what plays can we design to get this guy open? That's what they talked about as far as now we're going to game plan to get and scheme to get guys open now that we're closer to the end of preseason.
Wes and Hermitage on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, can someone, anyone, please convince me that Cordell Flott isn't a complete bum? Please. He looks like he is so bad that he would even make the Wildcats worse than what they are, and that's tough to do. Is that a shot at Kentucky?
Ooh.
Probably. He likes to do that to me.
Well, Wes.
Go easy, Wes. Come on.
Go easy. Come on, man. Go easy on Connie the Toon-Toned Kitty Cat.
I thought we got rid of that. What happened there?
Yeah, I thought we did.
I had forgotten about it until just now. But,
I like the alter ego that D Mace put out the other day. NC.
There
negative
we go.
Connor.
Negative Connor.
Non or cute. He's your alter ego.
He's my bizarro.
Yes. Any Cordell Flott thoughts, gentlemen, from today to answer Wes's question?
You know, until he gets out there and settles in the position, in the scheme, I think there'll be the question mark. You know, whether he did. I didn't focus too much in on the Titans defense today as much as I did the offense. So to be honest, I wasn't focused on him. But to me, I think we know there are big question marks with Flott and Alante Taylor on the other side, and maybe even more importantly, depth after that, because you never have enough good cover guys. And we'll see about the pass rush and all of that stuff. So I want to hold off. Like, I don't want to just say this is a big problem until they actually play some games.
Saul says, can we get a description of the cheap shot on Robinson? Like a late hit, targeting, etc. I need to give my Chicago transplant neighbors grief about it.
It was a pass over the middle, directly over the middle. Robinson coming in from... if Cam Ward is looking, he's cutting in from the right over the middle, and Woods was coming in from the safety position and met him. You know, I don't know if he was way late, but the flags came flying. He was clearly defenseless, mm-hmm. and he laid him out. Just just knocked him out. The kind of thing, like you guys saw when Carnell Tate got clipped by Kevin Winston, it was much more violent than that. In the one where Winston clipped Tate was a little bit scary just because the ball was in the air so long. This was one of those hard line drive passes that Ward tried to zip in there last second. And it was right on target, but I'd say the hit. Connor, you tell me, did you think the hit was a little bit early?
I thought it was a little early. It was definitely egregious. Like, yeah. I felt like he dipped the head. But, you know, it was definitely a cheap shot. I think you described it perfectly. He was coming off across the right into the middle, and he was in double coverage as well. There was a guy behind him, but you see Woods come out from the left, a little bit dip the head, and I think you described it perfectly, laid him out. So I thought it was majorly egregious. I think you did too. Obviously, Robert Saleh did. And
the refs did. Yeah, I mean, the three flags came flying in. Yeah.
615-737-1025. Actually, before we go to break, because this will guide us into our next segment, Connor and Willie, you both were at practice today. Who, quote-unquote, won the practice today?
Oh, you want an answer now?
Yes.
You know, winning practice is just not in my jargon.
Who won practice, Willie?
Who won practice? We need this.
Yes.
It's a good segue.
Who ordered Cole Red? Come on.
Well, when you guys put this on the text chain, Connor made a good point. Like, I really couldn't tell you who won between the Bears offense and the Titans defense. I just didn't watch it that close. I was watching from one field over, and when I could see the rep, the Titans had a couple nice interceptions. Caleb Williams had a couple of really nice touchdown throws. But I wouldn't say it was one-sided either way.
Okay.
I would say from the Titans' end, maybe I'd give them a slight edge over the Bears' defense. I think there was enough success there, but I wasn't grading each play and keeping any kind of score.
Connor, who, quote-unquote, won the practice?
Yeah, kind of what he said. I watched a little bit more of the defense than the offense today. I think the Bears' offense kind of beat the Titans' defense today from that end. But it's worth noting that the Bears ended the practice with an interception against the Titans' first-team defense. So I would say that the Bears won their offensive side and the Titans won their offensive side. So bad day for defenses, I guess. But if you're looking for an overall winner, I would honestly say the Titans. I think the offensive things that we talked about, Carnell Tate's day, the unity moment for Wandale Robinson, I think if we're measuring moral victories, that's the way to go. And even if you're measuring the offensive success, I was a bit more impressed by the Titans' offense than the Bears' offense today.
Okay, well, for what it's worth, friend of the show, Easton Freese, in his write-up said, it wasn't a blowout by any means. Chicago kept things competitive throughout the session, but the Titans were the better team on both sides of the ball. And that consistency across a full practice is what matters most heading into the regular season.
Do we have any Bears media that agrees? Or are the Bears people
what
saying?
What are Bears people
well,
saying?
Yeah. I will look. Fortunately for all of us, we will have a member of the Bears media on the program later today. Patrick Finley, Chicago Bears reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, will join us at 5 o'clock. We'll get his perspective on practice. We'll also talk to Patrick about Caleb Williams' maturation from year one to year two, and perhaps what we can learn about Cam Ward as he embarks on his year one to year two journey this season. Mitch Light of The Athletic will join us at 4:20 to talk college football, but I'll explain why coming up next. I asked Connor and Willie who, quote-unquote, won the practice. Some interesting data about, quote-unquote, winning or losing joint practices. 615-737-1025 will take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans. Catch the Metro High School Football Game of the Week every Friday at 7 p.m. on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger. Tomorrow night's game, which is probably also happening at night, tomorrow night's game will feature Antioch against East Nashville. Before and after the game, Big Joe and Connor Newt will have complete high school football coverage with the Game Blitz, powered by Southeast Financial Credit Union. D-Mace, Vingen and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, DJ Willie today.
You know, that sounds like a song that would be on a 80s sitcom. you know, like bosom buddies.
Bosom buddies?
You know, Willie know what I'm talking about.
Tom Hanks.
Exactly.
His breakthrough.
Yes, you know, 80s.
Well, Steve Winwood was in the 80s.
Yeah. Steve Winwood can cover numbers a lot of decades. For sure. 80s for sure, 70s
that
for sure.
That was definitely an 80s song.
Definitely 90s.
It took you back there, right? Bam. Mork and Mindy.
Okay.
Your hair was a little higher.
Yeah, hair was a little bit higher. You know, I mean, fro back then.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had a fro once.
The mini fro.
There will be a theme, so just
all right.
You know, keep that
back
in your
close?
Mind. Yeah, I mean, it's a good starting
ballpark,
point. There's no way you're going to get it on
the
first.
I'm in the building.
I don't think you could get it on the first one.
Okay, in the building?
You're in the building.
Okay, cool.
Okay, he's in the building. Derek Mason is in the building. So before the break, Connor and Willie both attended the joint practice today, Titans and Bears, and I asked both of them who, quote-unquote, won the practice, which seems like a silly thing to ask, right? We're talking about practice to, quote, Allen Iverson. But the reason why I asked that question was because I saw some really interesting stuff from Ryan Paganetti, a Super Bowl winning NFL strategy and analytics coach who has worked for the Eagles, Jaguars, and Raiders. We referenced Paganetti's work last week when we had our discussion about Cam Ward and his sack rate and sacks being a quarterback stat. So when I saw this cross my feed earlier today, I found it to be very interesting. I'm going to read directly from Paganetti's post. Quote, preseason games don't matter. The information edge is in joint practices. I built a sentiment index for every documented NFL joint practice series from 2011 through 2025 using all available public reporting, including local beat writers, team sites, national media, film analysis, and fan communities. Each report was evaluated for independence, affiliation, coverage, and confidence. Special attention was given to the strongest anti-Homer evidence. Beat reporters acknowledging that the opposing team won the joint practice. Over those 15 years, teams that clearly won joint practices exceeded their preseason win totals in 30 of 51 seasons, or 58.8%. Clear losers exceeded theirs only 23 of 52 times, 44.2%. That alone suggests an edge. Now, Derek Mason, all of that probably made your head swim a little bit. I know how you feel about me and Willie busting out the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a man who worked as an analytics and strategy coach for multiple NFL teams. And his own, I love the name of this, sentiment index. We know that evaluating a practice is subjective. There is no scoreboard. It's not Titans 25, Bears 22, which would be an odd football score, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it's completely subjective. But through Paganetti's research, over 15 years, 2011 through 2025, teams that clearly won joint practices exceeded their preseason win totals in 30 of 51 seasons. That's 58.8%.
So how did they define clearly? Who was the arbitrator in all of this to say they clearly won? Because there had to be, or are they going by the beat writers?
Each report was evaluated for independence, affiliation, mm-hmm. coverage, and confidence. Mm-hmm. He used all available public reporting, local beat writers, team sites, national media, film analysis, and fan communities.
Okay.
So based on all of that research, if he felt like one team clearly won a joint practice, those teams exceeded their preseason win totals 58.8% of the time between 2011 and 2025. So
what he's saying really is the importance of preseason.
It's not the game.
Yeah, it's the
practices.
Yeah, it shouldn't be
specifically the joint practice.
Your game, what you think your team's going to be shouldn't be sort of
let's put it this way. We have had the conversation about, would Titans fans feel better if the reports from practice were negative, but when they got on the field in preseason games, they can actually watch the Titans performed well? Or the inverse, which is sort of what's been through this preseason, right? The Titans have had solid practices, but haven't been performing well when most people could actually watch the game.
Well, if you're basing it off of what the study says, I think everybody would say, well, I would rather them do well in practice.
And that's what this is.
In the joint than.
This seems to suggest that the joint practices mean more than anything else.
But I think because that can't happen, you're still going to get, you know, the fan base, a portion of it. Maybe it's not as big as it once was, but there's a portion of it that thinks what I see on television, especially when my ones are in, especially in the situation that the Titans were in, their ones was playing against the opposing teams too, both games. And when you don't see your team perform in a certain way, yes, I heard what you said, but I know what my eyes are seeing.
So let me ask you this from a player's perspective. Mm-hmm. Robert Saleh had an interesting comment after practice today. He seems to value joint practices mm-hmm. much more than preseason games because the intensity of joint practices is far more significant than in the preseason games. Do you agree with that statement based on your experience?
I think from a mental standpoint, because you're playing against someone else. You're not playing against your own teammates.
And you're also playing against the top competition on the other team.
Yeah, you're playing against the top competition. So it's sort of like a measuring stick. If this team comes in like Seattle did with one of the best defenses in the National Football League last year, and I felt we held our own or even exceeded that, then I feel good about this team or about my unit, you know, headed into, you know, the season. But then again, it's the, well, what happens in the game? Why doesn't it then translate? I understand from a mental standpoint, again, it may be a tick, you know, faster mentally, but I think in a game, you should be able to match that, at least the guys that are out there. I know a lot of times it's twos and the ones are sitting on the sideline, but when you are the ones and you're out there, you have to have a certain mentality. I don't think any great offense walked into a preseason. The plays that they were going to play this and said, let's just get out of here, man. Let's just blow this off. No, it was let's score as fast as possible. Let's be concise. Let's be precise in everything that we do. Let's make sure we run a good operation and get off the field. So, again, I just think about it from a certain – and maybe he says that to, you know, sort of the message to his guys. Hey, listen, don't just, you know, let everything hinge on the way the game may have looked. We know what you guys are doing in the background. We see you guys every day, and you're developing. So I think he's more so talking to his team than he is anybody else.
I also have a theory that I tossed out last week mm-hmm. going into the Seahawks joint practice. My theory, and that's all it is that a young team that has much more to prove is going to be more looking to, quote, win the practice than a veteran team that already knows what they've got, like the 49ers. I think now the Seahawks are in that category. And even the Bears, to a degree, are at a different stage than they were even going into last year. Because now it's like, well, we know we can be pretty good. How do we get to the next level? So there might be some things that a coach does with an established winning team where he's not coming in with the idea of, we got to win this practice. I think for Robert Saleh, there's much more of a hunger with a young group. You're building a culture. You're building a foundation. You want to win the practice. You want your team to get confidence. So that is something that's intangible that you wouldn't ever be able to delve into. You'd have to go even deeper into these numbers. And I commend this guy for piecing all this together. I don't know how much time he took to do
that.
A lot. Yeah, I mean, you're trying to find Jim Wyatt's Twitter, and you're trying to find Adam Vingan's Twitter, and then all these things. That had to take a lot of time. But I still think that who you're playing in these practices matters based on, quote, who wins the practice.
And the Titans have had some stiff competition mm-hmm. in these three joint practices.
Stiff competition, but teams that really have nothing to prove by mm-hmm. winning a practice.
You know me, I nerd out over random stuff like this. So when I saw a sentiment index about every documented NFL joint practice series for the past like 15 years, I was like, oh boy, this is for me. But again, Ryan Paganetti, a former NFL strategy and analytics coach. Very, very interesting stuff on his feed all of the time. I recommend the follow. He said he built, again, a sentiment index for every documented NFL joint practice series from 2011 through 2025 using all available public reporting, including local beat writers, team sites, national media, film analysis, and fan communities. Each report was evaluated for independence, affiliation, coverage, and confidence. Over those 15 years, teams that clearly won joint practices exceeded their preseason win totals in 30 of 51 seasons, 58.8%. We were not at the 49ers joint practice because it was in California, but it sounded like the Titans, quote-unquote, lost that practice. We were all at the Seahawks joint practice. I think we can all agree the Titans, quote-unquote, won that practice, and it sounds like today might have been right, sort of right down the middle between the Bears and the Titans.
But I think a lot of it, there's still a lot of variables, even after, you know, what you may see in practice and who won. It's, well, out of those teams, how many of those teams stayed healthy? You know, out of those teams, how many of those teams were playing a first-year quarterback, you know, or veteran quarterbacks? There are a lot of things that I believe go into it. The numbers are, from based upon his study, the numbers are is that you, if you are a team and you clearly win the practice each time, then you are more likely to have a successful season. And I get that part.
Craig on our text line says, I want to see with my own eyes the Titans' first-string offense play better than another team's first-string defense. I would also like to see our first-string defense play better against opposing first-team offenses. I don't care whether that's in a game or a practice, but since we can't watch practice, I would like to at least see that in a preseason game. Dustin says, call me crazy, but I value what folks seen on national TV much more than practice. These Super Bowl winning teams can ball out when the lights are on. And Pat, I don't know, Dustin, your text message, man, there's a lot of, you got to
all over the place.
It's probably all over the place. Texting. But Dustin also said, to what Willie's saying, the Titans came out hot in practice against the Seahawks. Then on Hard Knocks, you saw Mike McDonald get in his team's ass. Then the Hawks started whooping us.
According to what? According to the Hard Knocks?
Yep, how they pieced it together.
I mean, I can.
How they edited it.
Yeah.
They did make it seem like.
Dustin, I want to read your text, but I lost you. There were, I don't know where this text is going.
But there's a narrative. That's a narrative almost. You're making a TV show. So you could play that narrative. You could. There's a million plays. That practice was 2 hours long, and the whole show is 30 minutes long, and it's not the whole practice. So I don't know. You can make those things look how you want them to look.
But I think fans just want to see, you know, had they seen, you know, the first drive of the first preseason game, had they seen something like that a few more times, I think this fan base, those that don't get an opportunity to come to practice, I think they would feel better. But because they're not seeing that, they're hearing that this is what he's doing, and he is doing this in practice. But they never can make that connection when it comes to a game. And that's what the fans are looking at. It's like, okay, I know what y'all are telling me again, but I know what I'm seeing and it doesn't match.
615-737-1025. I just wanted to share what I thought was fascinating data. We're going to have this Paganetti guy on the show. He's had some really interesting stuff. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans, who wrap up the preseason on Saturday against the same Bears. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we will get to question number 4 of our 10 pressing Titans questions. 615-737-1025. San Jose State takes on USC this Saturday at 2 p.m. for our college football game of the week on 1025 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, home of 29 Degree Drafts and Wall-to-Wall Sports. By the way, super shocked that Chris Sanders did not pick this game in silly underdog picks. I believe the line was USC minus 38.5. That seemed right up Chris Sanders' alley, but he did not do that. Coverage of this game is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. D-Mace, Vingit and Donick, 1025. The game? All right. I'm going to take a crack at Willie's musical theme. Songs where the title is a woman's name.
Ding, 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 ding. Way to go.
Valerie and now Billie Jean.
Yes. And who knows who else we might hear from today.
All right.
Some other ladies.
Score one for me.
Score one for Vingan.
All right. Josh from Cookville says, in my entirety of being a Titans fan since 2003, I have never heard and seen people overanalyze the preseason as much as I have this year. I understand cause for concern, but people forget to remember how much new we have going on. New coordinators, coaches, players, so many factors. I believe we need to see a few weeks of regular season play before we call so many players busts. I don't think anybody on this show has called a player a bust.
No.
But
we have not.
I do understand Josh's point. It does feel like we are nitpicking the hell out of this preseason.
But I'd say that is the case every preseason.
But doesn't it feel more so this year, though? No,
I don't think so. I think it's the same every year.
I think the quarterback is.
Yes.
Obviously. And I get it. You want to see, you know, a little bit more. You want to see, you know, the development be a little bit further. And I know that's what the fan bases are thinking. But when you are a team that, you know, haven't won over 10 games in the last 3 years, I mean, this is what comes with the territory. If this was a team that was coming off a playoff season, they didn't even have to win a Super Bowl. We wouldn't be having these questions. But when you haven't played to the level that your fan base thinks or that you think as an organization, then you're going to get nitpicked until you become a good team. And then a lot of that stuff, you know, once Cam proved he's the guy, you will not hear anything about Cam Ward other than he's playing good.
They need to add
more around him.
I would say that I will meet you halfway on if it's a good Titans team that you has been good the last couple years, then there would be less scrutiny on the day in and day out. But I don't think it's been any different for Cam Ward than it was for Will Levis, than it was for Jake Locker, than it was for Vince Young, for Marcus Mariota. When you have a young quarterback who's coming into a team that has struggled, then I do think it's an equal amount of scrutiny. I can remember when Vince Young was a young quarterback, we were all over his performance every day in practice, for sure. I don't think it's any different with Ward.
I think the reason why it feels, to Josh's point on our text line, that this preseason has been picked over more than any preseason in recent memory is just because of Cam Ward's struggles last season and combined with the discussions coming out of OTAs and minicamp. He did not receive glowing reviews, and I know it's minicamp, it's OTAs, I get it. But people were not satisfied, seemingly, with how Cam Ward performed in minicamp and OTAs, which then bled into the 6-7 weeks of nothing. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about Cam Ward based on what we saw in OTAs and minicamp. I think that has something to do with it as well. I think if Cam Ward had a really strong offseason program, we would not have filled so many weeks with, oh, my God, Cam Ward.
I disagree. I think when you're a young quarterback who on a team that's bad, you're going to be under the microscope. I think even if he lit it up in the offseason.
No, I think if he was playing better, people would have – they'll still be talking about him, but not in a concerning way. They will be talking about him in regards to, okay, now we need to find some more players. So you're right. All of these quarterbacks that they've drafted in the first round, especially the guys that they've drafted within the top five, yes, there comes a level of whether it be, you know, praise or scrutiny. It's going to come with that. But if this team is – if they figured him out, if everybody figured him out, we will be talking about him in a different light. Not to say we wouldn't be talking about him at all, because we still would be, but just in a different light. But because – you know, fans are like, we haven't seen that consistently, even though we've seen it on the practice end, it's going to continue to be this sort of, you know, well, what is Cam doing now? Well, what is he doing now? And it's almost geared toward he take a step back, and then in the fans' eyes, when the game started, he takes two steps forward, take a step forward, then two steps back.
Let's quickly get to question number four of our 10 pressing Titans questions. Over under 16.5 total takeaways. Here's how I came up with that number. The Titans last season had 14 takeaways, 6 interceptions, 8 fumble recoveries. That ranked tied for 26th out of 32 teams, of course, in the NFL, tied with the Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, and Green Bay Packers. Again, that number, 14 takeaways for the Titans last season. The NFL average, 19.7. So well below the league average in total takeaways. Here's something interesting I saw, gentlemen. I looked at the 3 full seasons Robert Saleh coached the New York Jets, 21, 22, and 23. In those 3 seasons, the Jets finished 31st, 29th, and tied for 8th, respectively, in total takeaways. So Robert Saleh's defenses, which were overall strong in New York, did not rack up a bunch of takeaways. So over under 16.5 total takeaways for the Tennessee Titans this season, Willie Donick.
I'll say slightly under. I just don't think they have the horses right now and that type of defense to get higher than that. I hope I'm wrong, because I think there's a chance that they'll be quite a bit better. But I don't see like a ball hawking defensive back that I can put down for 5-6 interceptions individually. The pass rush, which we've talked about throughout the week and really throughout the entire camp, that's the key. Can they have a ferocious pass rush here in this first year, and would that lead to takeaways? Maybe, but I'm going to go under.
Derek, over under 16.5 total takeaways for the Tennessee Titans, 14 last season.
Man, you would tend to believe that. You know, new defensive coordinator, some new guys up front. You know, they went out and paid for some guys on the corner at the corner position. The linebackers look good. So you would think, okay, this team, you know, should be able to get turnovers. This should be a opportunistic defense. This team had more fumble recoveries than they had interceptions last year. They had 7 fumble recoveries and 6 interceptions.
I have 6 interceptions and 8 fumble recoveries.
Oh, so it was 8-6. So yes. Still. So this hasn't been an opportunistic defense. Now, part of it, you can say they've dealt with injuries across the board. We know how depleted they were last year at the cornerback position. And then the signing of Snead, hoping they would get something, and got absolutely nothing. So I understand those things happen. But can this team with this defense under this defensive coordinator get more than, what is it,
16.5 is the over under 14 last season?
They're going to have to. I'm going to say that. They're going to have to. So I'm saying yes.
Over.
Over. They're going to have to.
Connor Newt, over under 16.5 total takeaways for the Tennessee Titans this season.
Let me adjust my microphone.
Yes,
here.
I'm sorry. I forgot about your...
No, it's okay. It's like I'm.
We can see you now.
Predictable. Yes. It's like I'm cutting a promo. Anyways, from what I saw on the practice field today and overall throughout training camp as a whole, this front line of this Titans defense, specifically the front four, sets the secondary up for opportunities. That's the recipe for success for the defense this year. I believe that's going to carry over into the season. Now, we have questions about the secondary, whether or not they can be effective as a unit. But I feel like if one unit up front is working to the best of their abilities, it will set the other unit up for success. So I'm with D-Mace. I'm going to go over the 16.5.
Okay. This one is tricky. I'm going to go slightly under. I was surprised by the takeaway numbers for Robert Saleh as head coach of the New York Jets, because I remember his defenses being overall solid. But again, in his 3 seasons as head coach of the Jets, they ranked 31st, 29th, and tied for 8th in takeaways in each of those seasons. So I'm going to say slightly under. Maybe I'll say 15 or maybe 16 on the dot. I don't know. But I don't think they're going to exceed 16.5. So I will take the under as well. 615-737-1025. You can also answer our fourth pressing Titans question. Over under 16.5 total takeaways for the Titans this season. They had 14 last season, which was near the bottom of the league. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we had two recent number one overall picks on the practice field today. Caleb Williams and Cam Ward. And earlier this week, we talked about Cam Ward's strengths. How many traits of a successful quarterback does Cam Ward possess? How many can he develop? And I want to compare and contrast Caleb Williams and Cam Ward because I think they can demonstrate the differences between number one overall picks. I know Willie wanted to watch Caleb Williams today and see how he looked compared to Cam Ward because in terms of the evaluations of these quarterbacks in their draft years, very different. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that next. Willie Dunick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.